Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, we're looking at pertaining, leading, and pertaining. Pertaining, leading, and perception. Our focus is recognizing the voice of God, right? Hallelujah. So this will be the third section. We've had two previous sections, like two previous sections, that would be better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are differentiating the voice of God from recognizing the voice of God, differentiating it from visions, right? Right? And another intelligent thing we'll do in this series is to differentiate, how to differentiate the voice of God from our mind. Hallelujah. So we still have a few more weeks to go. Glory to God. So we started off with Matthew 28. Amen. From verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," that's the word power, "is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. I am is with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, okay. Hallelujah. Mark 16. From verse 15, and Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with, and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you see, we said this will be Jesus' instructions in the 40 days to his disciples, right? And what is that instruction? Go make disciples, right? Go raise men. And we said, making disciples, raising men, making men students of the word is God's desire, right? We say that is God's desire, God's plan from the Genesis. If you read 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, it tells us about the plan of God. It says, who will have all men? Did you see that? God's desire is to have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that is God's desire. Hallelujah. So we see that responsibility, which is God's desire, is not given unto man as his responsibility. So man's responsibility, put the man in Christ, his responsibility is to bring God's plan, God's desire to pass. Hallelujah. So when you read 1 Timothy 2 and Matthew 28, because Paul will write in 1 Timothy 2, reading from Jesus' instruction to them within the 40 days, which is to go make disciples. So Paul is writing from there, and Paul is saying, God's desire is to have all men saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if this is where Paul is reading from, and we say Jesus will be reading from the 39 books, right, in Matthew 28. So that means, if I get back to the 39 books, which is Genesis down to Malachi, I will see God's desire from the Genesis is to have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth also. Hallelujah. So you read read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Did you see that? Now I've always told you, and I'll keep telling you, that Moses wasn't writing science. No. Moses wasn't writing history. No. He was writing theology from a known historical fact. Hallelujah. What he's writing is theology. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." So the heavens will be God's dwelling place within the earth. Hallelujah. And where does God want that to be? In all the earth. Glory to God. He will reiterate it again in Genesis. Is read from verse 2. Say, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep." Remember, I've always told you, he showed you Genesis 1, what God wanted is heaven and the earth. So he shows you what the earth is without the heaven. The earth without the heaven is empty and void. Tohu abohu. Hallelujah. Empty and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So that means the man without Christ, the man that is not in God's plan, hallelujah, is empty and void. Tohu abohu. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. He's empty and void. He's in darkness. So verses 3 will now be Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." Now what is the word? God said, "Let there be light." That is the word I am. Do you see that? So the Hebrew will have it, and God said, "I am light." Hallelujah. So let there be light will be I am. Hayah. Which is the same word for what? I am that I am. The Exodus 3, right? I am that I am. Hope you are following me. I am light. So verse 3, the solution to the darkness upon the surface of the deep is I am light. Glory to God. Which is what? God preferring himself as a solution to what? Man in darkness. Is that the Genesis 1:1? That is Genesis 1:1. Heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was sharing with one of your pastors. I was telling the person that is it one of your pastors or even during one of our meetings? I said, if you get to Genesis 1:26, it's the same thing he's saying. He said, "Let us make man in our image." Still reiterating, that is Moses rewriting Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. Let's make man in our image. What is man? Man there is Adama. Not Adama Philemon, but Adama. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which is what? Humanity. So God's plan is humanity. The world of man. Is that the earth? That is the earth. Let's make the earth in our image. What will be the image? The image will be what? Genesis 1:1. Which is what? The heavens and all the earth. The image will be what? The light. Did you see that? Genesis 1:3. Let's make man in our image. Let's make humanity in our image. Hope you are following me. Adam in the image of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, like I said, I shared one of the pastors. I had this similar discussion somewhere. And I got to Genesis 2. Right? Or the person asked me a question from Genesis 2. And I said, how come if you said this is, Genesis 1 is this, Genesis 1:26 is this, then how come in Genesis 2, God now breathed into the nostrils and man became a living being? Yes. I was talking about Adam, one man. I said, no, you have to understand how things are read in scriptures. Hallelujah. I told the person, let's look at that word to breathe. Even without, I have not, seriously, that was the first time I said it to your pastor, that was the first time that I hadn't actually checked that thing up before. Hallelujah. But like the Pentecostal, I thank God I was right, but it's wrong to do such things. Hallelujah. Said, where else did you see the word breathe? To breathe. Where do you find it again? I said, you will find it again in John chapter 20. Let's get to John 20. Now, when you get to John 20:23, Jesus, the Bible says, and in John 20:21, he breathed on them. You see that? He breathed on them. That is the word emphusal. This is emphusal. That is where you find that breathing emphusal is the same word for breathe also in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 2 verse 7. Hallelujah. He breathed on them. How did he breathe on his disciples? Did he get to them and say, take? No, that was not what Jesus did. That word emphusal means to quicken from within. So you have to read John's account with that of Luke. Look at Luke 24. Remember, what did he do to them is, John, he breathed on them, right? He breathed on them. That is what emphasis to quicken from within. I hope you're following me. To the way you quicken something from within, right? Now let's get to Luke 24. Luke 24, we're discussing pertaining leading. Yes. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Are you there? Luke 24, look at verses 25. He says, "All fools and slow are to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Say, off not the Christ to suffer the sin and enter into his glory." What did Jesus do to them, the two guys on their way from Emmaus? What did he do to them, Cleopas and his friend? Bible says, "And beginning at Moses," verse 27, "and all the prophets, he expounded unto them." To expound it, he taught them. Did you see that? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That means Jesus taught them. Right? Now let's see the effect of that teaching. Verse 32. "And I said one to another, I said, didn't our hearts burn within us?" Did you see that? To quicken? Is that the word to quicken? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he did what? While he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Did you see that? So that act of emphasis is in the teaching of the word. Hope you're following me. So emphasis was not that Jesus told his disciples, "Stand and look." No, that was not what he did to them. Hallelujah. That emphasis is John's shorthand for he taught us 40 days. This is that he opened our eyes to the scriptures. Hope you are saying that. He opened our minds to the scriptures. That is the same thing. Look at verses 46. He did the same thing to them. Sorry, verse 45. "And he opened his their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Isn't that? So the act of emphasis is what Luke will call he opened their understanding. His emphasis to teach. Hallelujah. So where are we going to find out what emphasis again, which is to breathe upon in the Old Testament? You find it in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel prophesying to the dead bones. What did God say? He said, "Breathe," right? "Cause the breath to come upon them." How would that happen? In the teaching of the word. Hallelujah. So when men are taught the word, they come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is Moses writing? Moses is writing the same truth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. He breathed on them. Glory to God. He breathed on man and man became a living being. Would that be in his point of teaching the word, faith in Christ? That is it. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. It's the same thing, faith in Christ. Let's move up ahead. Glory to God. So you find the same thing, men to come to knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge about God, which is faith in Christ. Hallelujah. In Numbers 14, we discover that Moses would say, as long as the earth remained, he says, as long as I live, he said, the air to be filled with the knowledge of what? Of the Lord. So God's plan is for his knowledge to fill the earth. Hallelujah. Before I forget something, John Genesis 1:28. God's instruction to man, the man born again, is that he should be blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. So replenish means to refill. Do you see that? Refill the earth with this kind. Would that be heaven in all the earth? That would be heaven in the earth. Would that be light in darkness? That would be light in darkness. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's move up ahead by a bit. So we also find out too in Numbers, in Exodus, that Moses will also be found teaching the children of Israel concerning the oracles of God. Hallelujah. So that means God's plan. Now, the children of Israel are out of Egypt, right? Egypt will form a background towards salvation in Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Or am I a bit fast? Am I fast? I'm not sure I'm fast. So Egypt will be a background towards faith in Christ, right? So faith in Christ. So what was Moses doing to them in the wilderness? Moses was teaching them concerning the oracles of God. So faith in Christ and to come to knowledge. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. Very simple. And Jesus will also show that in verse 2, he says teaching them. So when Jesus says teaching them, that will be a primary meeting of believers. A primary meeting when believers are gathered together. A primary meeting of disciples. Hallelujah. Primary meeting, yeah. So the teaching becomes the primary activity of the gathering of believers. Hallelujah. And we said what should be taught? We said what should be taught should be the ever-abiding presence of God, which is the indwelling of the Spirit. And we said the indwelling of the Spirit is the leading of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 14. In Romans 8 verse 14, he says, as many. Romans 8 verse 14, he says, as many. As many. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. As many as are led. That word led there is the word ago in the Greek. Ago there is used for a new birth. So it means that the new birth is the leading. Hallelujah. The new birth is the leading. Before we look at that word ago again, let's look at some few things. So if the new birth is the leading, we said if the new birth is the leading, that means the believer is well led. Hallelujah. We said that the believer is well led. The believer has light. We said that light is direction. So the believer always have direction. We looked at all that within the last 2 weeks. I won't dwell on that today. But let's look at that word ago. Something I need to show you there. We said we have that in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, that word ago. Matthew 4 verses 1. If you are in Matthew 4, I'm going to read verse 1. Now look at what it said. It said, and Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. That is the word ago. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now he said led up of the Spirit. That was the word ago there. So it's used for how Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, right? Now let's see something. Let's cast our mind back to some things. Hallelujah. So where would we have wilderness in scriptures? We'll have wilderness in scriptures where? In Exodus, right? Right? Exodus, Numbers. So, remember, at the background of Exodus is what? At the background of the new birth, the background of faith in Christ, the new birth, is what? The Exodus. Hope you know that. At the background of faith in Christ, the new birth is the Exodus. Because the Exodus will be what? The Exodus will be a coming out to somewhere. Hallelujah. A moving out and into somewhere. Glory to God. That will be the transportation. That will be as many as are led by the Spirit. That will be the background of what? That will be the background of Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us out of darkness. Egypt is in the background. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Egypt is in the background. And Egypt is Exodus. Hallelujah. So let's look at something in Exodus chapter 15. God led them out of Egypt. Right? Right? Exodus 15, let's see something. The song of Moses. They sang the song. So when did they sing the song? When they were delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, something to talk about when I'm teaching you a song. Hallelujah. When they were delivered. So that means the songs of the new creation are songs of our redemption. Hallelujah. It was carried redemption fact. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 15:1. He said, and they sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed greatly, graciously. The horse of the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he hath become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God I will exalt. Did you see that? So they were singing their reality. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is a man of war. It's not a singing of how we feel. No, it's our reality. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host had been cast into sea. He has chosen captive who are drowned. His chosen captive also are drowned in the Red Sea. The dead have covered them. They sank into the bottom of the stone. The right hand, oh Lord, is become gracious. The right hand, oh Lord, is become gracious in power. The right hand, oh Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemies. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou had overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostril, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoils. My loss shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wing, the sea covered them. They sank as I led in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what did they sing? They sang about God is their redemption. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. About what God has done to them, done for them, in their leading out. Hallelujah. Look at earlier on, if you read Exodus 6:6, look at what God said. Look at what God said in Exodus 6:6 earlier on. He says, therefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great judgment. So God said he will redeem them with an outstretched hand. So God is their redeemer. Hallelujah. Remember we are looking at the new verse from where? The background. Looking at the background to the new verse, right? Right? Hallelujah. God will do that. Hallelujah. God redeemed them, right? From Egypt. Look at Jeremiah 31. Okay, before we get to Jeremiah 31. Look at Exodus 13, before we get to Jeremiah 31, Exodus 13, 21. Just two chapters before, Exodus 13, 21, look at what he said. He says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and led them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and by night. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So God led them out by a pillar of what? Cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God led them out. So in leading out, what do they see? What do they have? They had the spectacular. Hallelujah. They saw the spectacular. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 14 verse 19. He repeats that again. Chapter 14 verse 19. He says, and the angel of the Lord, now Father is explaining the pillar of cloud. So the angel of the Lord God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So they were led. Look at verse 24. It says, and it came to pass that in the morning, watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. They were led out by that pillar. Hallelujah. And look at how God will now use it in Jeremiah 31:31. Come on. Are you there? Jeremiah 31:31. Look at what God says. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So not according to the covenant which I made with their father, in the day I took them by hand and bring them out of the land of the Egyptians. Did you see that? He took them by hand. So, hallelujah. So that means the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was God leading them out. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Amen. So God led them out. God led them out. And we saw that was via who? Come on. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. Was that an angel? Was that the ministry of an angel? Come on now. I thought you at least to know that. Hallelujah. Was that an angel? You should know that. It's an angel. Right? Glory to God. That's what happened to you. Who did God lead them to? He led them through the instrumentality of who? Angels. Come on. So many of the things I showed you, that many of the things where you go back to read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will see what will be what? Angelic act. And remember we said, though it is carried out by India, did God send them? Was it sent by God? Yes. Right? So God will not say, I led them out. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. So they saw the spectacular. Did they see the spectacular? Yes. Hallelujah. So they had the leading of the Spirit where? In the wilderness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Were they led in the wilderness? They were. They were led in the wilderness by God. Hallelujah. So, listen to this. If you have been distracted, if you've not been writing, if you've been moping around, listen to this. The wilderness will imply the world. Hallelujah. So they were led from, come on, they were led from Egypt, right? They were led from Egypt. Is that darkness? Is that unbelief? Right? They were led by the Spirit. Glory to God. Right? Through the wilderness. So the wilderness is not the Spirit. They were led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Hope you are following me. So the wilderness will still represent the world, the ideas of the world, ideologies of the world, emphatically yes. But what? How is God navigating them through the world? They were in the world, right? They were in darkness. Now God is leading them out, right? Yeah. Or God led them out of darkness, right? They are now in the wilderness. But in the wilderness will still represent the world, right? That means they are still in the world. They were not converted and taken to heaven. They were still in the world, but now to be led by the Spirit, right? In the world. Hope you are following me. So the wilderness will represent what? The world. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how would they live in the world? By the Spirit. How would they navigate through the world? By the Spirit. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verses 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's see how Paul will now explain that. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3. Look at what it says. It says, and they all eat the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So, that means what they had information of the Spirit, right? Right? Was that what we said? When you hear the word pneumaticus or pneumaticon, you ask, you go back, Paul wanted you to go back to 1 Corinthians 2 to see how pneumaticon will be used, right? So you see that pneumaticon is used for information of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2 from verses 10. Hallelujah! From verses 10, you see that? Hallelujah! Let's get down to 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verses 10. Oh, verses 9 say, but it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, yet I have said unto the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. You know, the Spirit searcheth all things, right? It said the Spirit searcheth all things. Say, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? And even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of this world, right? But the Spirit is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say, which things we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So what does he call spiritual? We receive not the spirit of the world, which is the man who is saved, the spiritual, right? Right? Then look at verses 10. He said, what is, I have not seen that as man here, I have not seen. Neither has he entered into the heart of man, which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Which I read also in here, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of the man except the Spirit of which is in him? So he calls the information in the Spirit. He calls the Spirit too. So in verse 13, when he says, comparing spiritual, it will be spiritual information with the spiritual. Now who will be the spiritual? The man with the Spirit will be called spiritual. And the information in the Spirit is called spiritual. So he says, comparing spiritual things, spiritual information with them that are spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Okay, let's move ahead a bit. So, even I get down in chapter 3, it says, brethren, I couldn't speak to you unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, he calls the man who is born again, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. So this is your person in Christ. You are spiritual. When a man to be saved, that man is spiritual. Hallelujah. So, we've seen information is called spiritual, and the man in the Spirit is called spiritual. Now when I get to chapter 10, where he hears spiritual drinks, spiritual meat, it is referring to informations in the Spirit. Hallelujah! So those information in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, information in the Spirit, would that be direction? Come on, would that be direction? Would that be direction? That would be direction. Hallelujah! So they have direction in the Spirit in the wilderness. They have direction from the Spirit in the wilderness. But what did Paul say in verse 5? Paul says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 10, he said, but many, with one of them God was not pleased. That is, God was not persuaded with them. Hallelujah. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? The writer of Hebrews will say so. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 3. Hebrews 4, verse 3. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, oh, let us have a verse 2. For unto us what the gospel preached unto as well as to them, but what preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. So he said, what they had was faith in Christ. What they had was direction from the Spirit. But what did they do? They rejected it. So Paul went on and said they were overthrown. In chapter, that same Hebrews, look at chapter 3, verses 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. It says, while it is said, today if you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. It says, for some, when they heard it, did provoke. Howbeit, not all who came out of Egypt, that came out of Egypt by Moses. Did you see that? So you need to see this. So he's referring to their wilderness experience. And he says in their wilderness experience, they were not persuaded. And he said they were unbelieving. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. So what will you have in the wilderness? Unbelief. Right? So unbelief to what? To God's direction. Unbelief to God's ways. Right? Glory to God. Now let's move ahead a bit. Let's quickly look at Psalms 95. Psalms 95. Just similar place from where the writer of Hebrews was reading from. Psalms 95. Verses 7. Are you there? Look at what it said. It says, for are you there? Okay, verses 8. It says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Did you see that? So that means what they had was unbelief in the wilderness. For your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. Did you see that? 40 years I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people who do err in their heart, and they have not known my way. Is that my direction? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I swear in my rod that they will not enter my rest. That is verse 11. So you see, So we can say the children of Israel had the leading of God, but they didn't walk in it. You see that? So when you now look at Jesus in Matthew 4, when he said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So you have to look at it critically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at that. Okay. So when you say how he was so in the wilderness, remember we said the wilderness will be the world, right? And we said that story of the temptation was only told by Jesus. So how would Jesus say that? How would Jesus show them? Jesus was showing them his earthly walk, right? His earthly walk. Come on. Jesus only said, and he would have only told them that in the resurrection. That is when he made sense to them. Hallelujah. So Jesus was showing them his earthly walk, and he showed them like in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So this becomes very crucial in our lives today. How Jesus was led in the wilderness, the word, is by the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why every temptation you see, if you read the temptation in Luke, if you read the temptations, you see every temptation of Jesus was seen in the life of Jesus in his earthly walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was seen in his life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, look at that again. Well, no, we did that in ABC of temptation. Come get that message. Hallelujah. I showed you that. Hallelujah. All the temptation. When they came to tempting. And you say, tempt the Lord, tempt not the Lord thy God. That was exactly what he said to the devil in the temptation. Hallelujah. And he said it to men. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. When he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn stone to bread, pressure to do what he's not supposed to do. Hallelujah. You find it in his earthly walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you get to when he told the devil, get thee behind me, who did he tell get behind me again? Peter. You see that? You find it in his earthly walk. Hallelujah. So that means how Jesus navigated through in his earthly work is by the leading of the Spirit. That's what he showed you to, for you to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have in my notes, the temptation becomes the summary of Jesus' earthly work, what he suffered in the hands of men, and it will be seen. And it will be seen that he was led by the Spirit. So we can say, just like the children of Israel, they had the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They had the leading, but they didn't walk in it. So the first step of walking in the leading of the Spirit is by recognizing it. You have to recognize the leading. Recognize the leading. Hallelujah. Recognize the leading. Recognize first of all, this is the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. In 1 Kings, where we've been reading from, chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. And in 1 Kings 19, look at verse 10. It says, for he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. Okay, let's run to verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, that is Elijah, and a great wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a small still voice. Hallelujah. So Elijah, we said, saw the spectacular. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Elijah saw the spectacular, but the answer, the leading of the Spirit was not in the spectacular. So for Elijah to see the spectacular, does it mean that Elijah was used to the leading of the Spirit by the spectacular? Yes. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So that means you can be led by the spectacular, but not always. Hallelujah. The spectacular can be the form in which you know God's leading. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. The spectacular is the base form of knowing God's leading. The base, the lowest form of knowing the leading of the Spirit. Or of God leading his children. Hallelujah. But God wasn't in the spectacular. Many a times people want to see the spectacular, but they omit the supernatural. The leading of the Spirit is supernatural. Not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural. Hope you are following me. So if Elijah had stayed with the spectacular, he would have missed out on the small still voice. Remember, the still small voice was in the presence of every obstacle, yet it was clear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll get to see all this shortly today in differentiating the voice of God. Now let's look at that word voice. You see that word voice in the Hebrew is the word call. Q-O-L. It's used for a constant sound of a man. A constant sound of a man. Constant sound of a man. It is used for a man's voice, a familiar voice. Look at when we saw the example with Samuel. Samuel heard the voice of God. And who did he run to meet? Eli. That means God will always use a familiar voice. God always is human voice. There's nothing called heavenly voice. Or, do you understand? There's nothing called heavenly voice. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. There's nothing called heavenly voice. Rather, you will find it in familiar man's voice. Samuel ran to Eli. Hallelujah. Who was calling him? God. For he heard Eli's voice. So God will always use familiar voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have a dream or a vision. You heard voice and say, I heard angelic voice, heavenly voice. No, there's nothing like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will be in man's voice. In Romans 11:2, Paul, looking at that, explaining 1 Kings 19, who called the still small voice, who called it the answer of God. He called it the answer of God, which is what? Say, what's here? The answer of God. So the answer, what answer of God is the word krematismos or krematizo, which is used for the response of a deity, the response of an oracle. Hallelujah. It is used for the warning of God, to be warned of God. To be warned of God. Which you say, well, you hear that word to be warned of God, you have to look at it again. Is it God that is speaking or an angel? Hallelujah. And we'll discover from Matthew down to Acts, we'll discover that it's actually sometimes, many times it's angels that are speaking. Hallelujah. angels that are speaking. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So, last week and the week before, we began differentiating between between angels speaking and God, right? Hallelujah. And differentiating into from visions. Was that what we've been looking at? Hallelujah. Was that what we've been looking at? Differentiating those voices. So we say angels can only act in the capacity of angels. Don't get angry. Angels will act as angels. Hallelujah. They will use symbols. Angels will always use symbols. Look at Acts 10. Look at Acts 10. The angel that came to Peter. Supposed to tell Peter he should preach to Gentiles. What did he bring? He brought four fitted beasts. And they arrived, kill and eat. Look at something I need to show you. Acts 10. Look at verse 14. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Yeah? I even remember a very big mistake one can make. I said this years back, and it's actually not too correct. He said, when your spirit responds by in a vision and your spirit responds by the word Lord, it means that is the Lord. No, that is not the Lord. Peter called an angel Lord. So most of them, when you hear Lord, when you see Lord, you have to check again. Which Lord is that? Hallelujah. Who was he calling Lord? Angel. Hallelujah. And I told you, do not take words of angels too very serious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't take it too very serious. Because they don't know salvation facts. Hope you are following me. Angels don't have salvation facts. So don't take them too very serious. Hallelujah. Look at, it was an angel when Jesus was, when they went out and Jesus was taken up in a figure into heaven. Angel said, you see him go, you see him come. Hallelujah. If the disciples are taking those angels serious, like people are taking them as serious, because some people are more serious than the people that heard that voice. Hallelujah. They said, he's coming back. They didn't take that serious. Hallelujah. They knew it was an angel. Well, how did they go back? They went back rejoicing. So why would they go back rejoicing? Because of the words Jesus had taught them, not what the angel said. What are you following me? What Jesus had done was taught them. What has Jesus taught them? I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So that means they knew when they saw Jesus going into the sky, they knew the sky would be a symbol for he would be found in the spirit. Hallelujah. But the angel says, you see him go, you see him come. Why would the angel say that? Because angel don't know salvation fact. Angels didn't even know that he was already in them. Hallelujah. So that's why they don't take angels serious. Don't take them serious because they don't know salvation fact. Peter will say they try to look into these things. Hallelujah. They try to look. They try to know salvation fact. They don't know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I told us last week, I said it was an angel that said John would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That has caused a lot of problems today. Hallelujah. And John was filled from his mother's womb with the Spirit. How? How can a man be full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? Who said that? Angel. I hope you are following me. Imagine you put that pari passu with scriptures, you miss it. Somebody will now come and say, I was born a prophet from my mother's womb. I was born again from my mother's womb. You are not well. Do you understand? You just take the Bible, go and see psychiatric, go and see a psychiatrist. Why? Because you can't be born again from your mother's womb. I hope you are following me. But where did those people learn that from? Ah, I've been a prophet from my mother's womb. Amen? Hope you are following me. I've been a prophet from my mother's womb. How? I've been a prophet from your mother's womb. How are you born again from your mother's womb? From the stomach. Before I was born, when I was still a fetus, still trying to grow up as an embryo, the Lord has called me as a prophet. So when I was born, hallelujah, a man of God was born. Who was a man of God? Even John. The other side, even Jesus had to be baptized. Amen. Yeah. So who are you? Say no. I don't have anybody to show me the scriptures. I will show the scriptures from my mother's womb. Thank you. That's why it's good. Hallelujah. I'll show the scripture from my mother and say it's not true.
Glory to God.
It is not true. Amen. So where did all those issues arise from? Arise from the words of a prophet. I mean, from the words of an angel. You don't need to take them too very serious. Okay, believe it. They can't. Because if you take them too very serious, even yourself. But when you put the words of the angels with scriptures, what is happening here? No, it's not what is happening here. Angels will be angels. So you are hearing me. Angels will be. There's something I'm going to tell you about how to handle dreams. And I hope to get into dreams today. I hope. I have a lot for us to look at. Though my notes are scattered everywhere, but I have a lot for us to look at. I hope for us to get into dreams. We'll begin to look at dreams. So we that. A man, after the wife has given birth to him with for one, second, third, fourth children, did the wife give birth to him? The wife gave birth for him. Four children. Grown up. After a while, now saw a dream. And the wife turned to Satan and said, my wife has been a witch. And he gave born one, born two, born three, born four. You are nowhere. He said, the Lord showed me the vision. Which is the vision? Remember, from the beginning, I told you something to do. I said you should put dreams, visions where. Don't take them too serious, right? But that's what I told you. So today I'm going to tell you something. Always, when you have those dreams and visions, don't allow it to disturb your brain. Hang it. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you what to do today. Hallelujah. Hang it somewhere. Don't allow it overburden you. There were people that we have called witch and wizards because of dreams we saw. When I was growing up, there were people that we did midnight prayer for. If I had known, I would have slept well. Holy Ghost, I abandoned them. More anywhere Satan and God, we have them in our mind. They sit on us. Because of the dreams we saw. Then if you are too fast, you're a witch. You are too thin, you're sucking blood. So we have them all around. Hallelujah. So you just have to be normal. Even though Dixon will be a wizard. It's too big. God cannot create a giant. You see yourself. And I used to say, amen, would I have been a witch? Don't do cautious. No, not like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we have midnight prayer. Prayer that time that we have used to just thank the Lord and pray for the coming year. We wasted it facing a tree at the backyard and we're shouting Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Okay, let's continue. So, where were we? Okay, Acts 10. So, you see, Peter wanted to go to, was being led by the Spirit of God to a Gentile person, and he saw four-footed beast. Do you understand? So, angels will just be angels. Hallelujah. They will act as the capacity of angels. They will use symbols. Right? Like Peter's case, symbols. Hallelujah. Because they don't have the knowledge of the gospel. Okay. And take note, it doesn't now mean that angels aren't sent from God. I hope you are following me. It doesn't mean they are not sent from God. But at that point, it's not God speaking. You must know that. You must learn to see that. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that they were not sent by God. But it's not God speaking at that time. For rather the angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we can say angels are sent by God, but they would not be clear. They will not be clear. They will not be clear. Therefore, I must be careful in jumping into conclusions when an angel speaks. Hallelujah. When an angel speaks, you have doubts. You have doubts. And you and I know, I told you this last week, fear cannot be the leading of the Spirit. Fear cannot be the leading of the Spirit. Fear cannot be. You can't call fear the leading of the Spirit. You can't call fear. Pastor Shego said, you can't go call anxiety the leading of the Spirit. Anxiety can be the leading of the Spirit. It can't be. Fear can't be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not led that way. Hallelujah. So when God speaks, look at that Acts 10. When God speaks, What happens? Look at verse 17. While Peter doubted in himself what the vision should be, doubt angels, right? Right? Hallelujah. Verse 18. I mean 19. While Peter thought on the vision, he had to think about it. The Holy Ghost said to him. You see that? Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. Hallelujah. Verse 12, it says, and the Spirit bid me to go, nothing doubting. So when an angel speaks, there was doubt. When the Spirit spoke, there was no doubt. You see that? There was no doubt. So God will speak clearly. It will be clear. It will doubt fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will doubt fear. It will be clear. Look at Acts 9. Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Verse 4. And he fell in the earth and heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard to kiss against the priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it will be clear. I am Jesus whom you persecute. Look at verse 6. Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Clear. Hallelujah. Clear. Hope you are following me. But he went, came to Peter, arise, kill and eat. Eat what? You see that? Amen? Went to Philip, arise, dust yourself and go. Go where? Go where? But when he listened to the Spirit, he had direction in Acts 8. You see that? Had direction from the Spirit. Glory to God. To join himself up with the chariot of Enoch. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. So when it is by the Spirit, you will find it clear. To be clear. Okay. That same Acts then will have Ananias. Acts 9, sorry, will have Ananias. Verse 11. It tells him, go to this street called Street and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. So behold, he prayed direct, straight. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Is this a vision by Ananias? Yes. That means visions can be from God. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you all visions are from angels. No. Okay, follow me. You can have visions from God. So Ananias had a vision and it was from God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Very simple. And also you can also know visions that are from angels. Which now when you hear visions from angels, you learn to listen to what? Pay attention to the pronoun. God will be used as a third party. Was that what we said? God will be found or God will be used as a third party. Do not call what God has made clean unclean. It's not something God speaking to an angel. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Amen. God will say, arise, go to the street called Street. And inquire in the house of one Judas for a man called Saul of Tarsus for his prayer. I hope you say that. And when he says, when he tried to, I've heard of that guy. That guy is a bad guy. Oh Lord, what is God telling him? He said, go your way. For he's a chosen vessel unto me. You see that? So it's God speaking. Unto me. Angels can't say unto me. Has he smoked banner? He can't say unto me. Hallelujah. If an angel say unto God, do you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. We will learn to know that. So when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, I must be intelligent. So intelligence is needed in the leading. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit requires intelligence. Hallelujah. It requires intelligence. So, as we got visions and dreams, we'll get into dreams soon. Glory to God. Amen. Okay.
但是
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sorry for that.
So, so I said as regards visions and dreams, right? I must not be quick to take decisions.
Hallelujah.
When it comes to visions and dreams, I must not be quick to take decisions, to act. Hmm? Don't be too quick.
Hallelujah. Remember I said, you should learn to put it somewhere, right? Right? And to put it somewhere. Don't be quick.
But Shaka will say, the older you get, the slower you act on any living. The older you get, the slower you begin to act on any living.
Don't be too quick.
No. Don't be too quick.
Hallelujah. Don't be too quick. Pastor Shaka, Makene Hagin will say, you can't be faster than the Holy Ghost.
No, don't be.
When it comes to living on the spirit, learn to be slower than God. When you are fast than God, you will miss God.
But when you are slower than Him, you can't miss Him because He's leading you.
Hallelujah!
He's the one leading. So you can't miss God when you are slower than Him. So just don't be too quick.
Don't be too quick to jump into conclusions.
That's what it means.
Hallelujah! Don't be too quick at all.
Hallelujah!
So a question is, can a believer be led via vision? Can a believer be led via vision? Eh? Can a believer be led via vision? You don't need to be indifferent. I've been teaching you now. Hey, can be led via vision. But he needs to be very slow when he comes to that.
Hallelujah.
He needs to be slow when he comes to that. Just, when I mean slow, don't just jump when you see any vision.
Jonathan,
you can be led via vision. But you have to be slow. We're going to see something shortly.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, a believer can be led via utterance, via the written, first of all, let me start, via the written word. I've taught you this before. Via the written word. Via utterance. Right? Right? Can also be led via vision. Now, take note of what I want to say concerning visions. Visions and dreams, as we will see shortly, will be the base. It will be a base form of living. What I mean base form? It is the smallest form in which God will lead us. How we are following it? It's very small. You know, when it comes to dreams and visions, you have the spectacular. That is why I told you, in the Old Testament, you have a lot of the spectacular because, you know, one of the supernaturality of angels. Did you get? Hallelujah, I have a lot of spectacular. But in the written, but when it gets to the New Testament, you just say straight word. It is written.
Hallelujah.
It is written. It is said. No tra-ta-ta. It is written. Hallelujah. So the written word is God's leading.
Amen.
Okay, let's look at some other things. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16. So why are we just looking at the book of Acts when it comes to the leading? Because that is really the act of the leading. Hallelujah. And then you find the act of the leading. That is the leading, the act. Hallelujah. Amen. Find the act of the leading. Acts 16. Are you there? Look at verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Pisidia and in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Hallelujah. It says they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Remember, imagine you are going to evangelism. You know, this sounds like, it's not the Holy Ghost, though. Watch this Holy Ghost, right? You are going to preach. It says, God, go into all the earth and preach the gospel. Now you are going to preach and you hear the word, right? From the Holy Ghost. Don't go to Asia. Don't go here. And you say, no. This is
not prophecy, right? No. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Now, I used the word Holy Ghost. I told us something last week. I said, if you look at the Old King James, especially in the book of Acts, the way the word Holy Ghost, the way they use the word Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, from the Old King James, you see the word used Holy Ghost, many a times it refers, it's used for utterance. Many a times it's used for utterance. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 1-2 quick. Let us run through some of those things. Let us see them. Acts 1-2 say, until the day which he was taken up, after the Holy Ghost had given commandment to the apostles after that he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandment to the apostles which whom he had chosen. Would that be utterance? Is that utterance? That is utterance. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost no more in the hands. Is that utterance? They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. That utterance. Share your following me. Look at verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me. Is that utterance? I hope you are following that. So many of them, when the word Holy Ghost is used, for utterance. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, it says, men and brethren, this scripture must be fulfilled needs to be fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke. So he's trying to talk about the utterance of David, right? Come on, is that utterance? Acts 2 verse 4. Look at chapter 2. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. Is that utterance? Verse 33. Acts 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has sent forth, which ye now see and hear. Is that utterance? What did they see? What did they hear? Is that not utterance? That is utterance. Share your following me. Look at chapter 3, verses 38. Skip that one. Now look at chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4 verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, filled with the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He said, utterance. Sure, you can see that. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were, where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Is that utterance? Utterance. Sure, you can see. Chapter 5 verse 32. Chapter 5 verse 2, and we are witnesses of these things, and so it's also the Holy Ghost which had given to them that to obey, was referring to the same utterance here too. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 6 from verse 3 to 5. Acts 6 verse 3, it says, wherefore brethren, look here among yourselves several men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, which we may appoint over this business. And they chose, right? And what was the outcome of that? Verse 7, and the word of God increased. Is that utterance? That was utterance. Hope you are following me. Full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 7:55. Come on. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, which is Stephen, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on his right hand. Hallelujah. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open. So Holy Ghost here is used for both revelation and what verse 56 is utterance. Hope you are following that. Look at Acts 8:15. Speaking about when Peter got to Samaria. And when he had come down, he prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he has not yet fallen on any of them, except they were baptized in the name of the Lord, verse 17, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So that means they saw something, he saw something, and he heard something. Hallelujah. So revelation and what? Utterance. Chapter 9, verse 31. Hope you are following me. Chapter 9, verse 31. And the churches, chapter 9, 31. Okay. So, then the churches rest throughout all Judea and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You also find in Acts 10:38, the house of Cornelius, what happened then. Acts 13:2, look at 13:2, And they, as a minister to the Lord and pastor, the Holy Ghost said, something was said, utterance. Right? Verse 4. And so being led forth by the Holy Ghost, utterance, right? Departed into Seleucia, and from there they sailed into Cyprus. 19 verse 6, speaking about the 12 elders in Ephesus. 19 verse 6, it said, and when Paul has laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Which is that, so something was there. So when you don't get to Acts 16, go back to Acts 16 verse 6, when it said they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost, would that be by utterance? That would be by utterance also. Hope you are following me. So they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to be via utterance. So that means they heard utterance telling them not to go to Asia. Hope you are following me. Not to go to Asia. You know, that can be, that you can actually easily pinpoint and say, this one is not God. How can you tell us not to preach when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach? Don't be too quick. Hope you are following me. They heard via what? Prophecy. Utterance. So look at verse 7. And after, now, between verse 6, verse 7, verse 10 are multiples of weeks. In fact, if we can even span into months and into a year. Hallelujah. Look, into months. Say, after they were coming to Macedonia, they are said into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to. Did you see that? They were still forbidden by the Holy Ghost again to preach the gospel in Bithynia. Hallelujah. Verse 8, and they passing by Macedonia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now look at it. Now this will have happened over time. Glory to God. They didn't go to Asia. They wanted to go to Bithynia. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Now this did not happen like today, tomorrow, and next tomorrow. No, it took a while. It took weeks. Amen. The same way from Acts 2 to Acts 10 was over 11 years. Acts 10 to Acts 15 is over 15 to 16 years. So you would think it's just today, chapter 1, tomorrow, chapter 2. It's not true. It took years. Hallelujah. The same way, two verses, it can be multiple of weeks. So what is happening here is not a matter of days, it's weeks. So they were forbidden here, they kept it. Hallelujah. They were forbidden here, they kept it. And then Paul now had a vision of a man of Macedonia telling him to come down to Macedonia and help us. Now let's just analyze Paul's vision. Was this man of Macedonia, is it God that spoke to Paul, an angel? Now let's look at it together. We'll be looking at angel and God, right? Is it God or an angel? Let's look at it together. Is it God? If it is God, tell me why it's God. If it's an angel, tell me why it's an angel. Who is that? We are in verse 7. Is this the 7 now? Sorry, I said the 7. We're in verse 9. 9 into 10. This is 9.
Have you ever not doing pre-text and post-text? And I'm looking at this. Reading in context. Oh, yeah, what is it?
I only exempt Philemon and Chris. So the rest of us will be here now. Fini. Alpha, is he angel? Or why is he angel? Somebody comes to me, sir, is this an angel or God? What would you say? Will you say, let's look at it again? You look at it again, but what is it? See me? Don't read pretext. Don't go to the beginning. What is that? Is that angel or God? I've been reading since now. Huh?
Angel. Why is he angel? Sorry. Why is he angel? Let's see.
Like last week, you said to know when angels and when God actually speaking, you should take note of the pronouns. And then
there's no pronoun here for God. No, like brother, this is the man of Macedonia. Pray this day. Come over to Macedonia and help us. There's no place
for God. This sound like the statement, you sound like it was God that sound like angel.
Let me give a question.
Okay, he said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Okay, because Paul was not confused.
Okay.
There was no confusion there. He just said,
Now, after you have seen vision, immediately we thought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them.
Not confusing. I want to show you that confusion didn't just happen to
me. It was not actually God. This is an angel. It's just very simple. Amen. Amen. So when he says, I told you there's a simple divider you used to know. God does not use symbols. You saw the man of Macedonia was a symbol. Jonathan was a symbol. Hallelujah. Man of Macedonia was a symbol. Now, look at something you need to see. You say, okay, yeah, you came up with one. I said it was not confused. Why? Well, that might be, you are good, correct, in that aspect, but look at verses 10. He said, after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to, now when you say immediately, after they saw the vision, bam, say, oh yeah, I let the Macedonia know. Did you see that? Who saw the vision? Paul. Hallelujah. He said, after he had seen the vision, immediately we. Watch the tenses of Luke. Paul saw the vision. We endeavored to go to Macedonia. Did you see that? Are suddenly gathering that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. So when we look at that word, are suddenly gathering, you discover that it did not happen overnight, they saw and the next morning they went. No. But here the word assuredly gathering, that is the word in the Greek. That word in the Greek is the word sombibazo. Sombibazo, S-U-M-B-I-B-A-Z-O. Sombibazo. It's a compound word of son and bibazo. Now, sombibazo means, son means to bring things together. Now, what it means is that they brought all the facts together. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. They brought all the facts together. That was some bibazo. You find it in Acts 9 verse 22. Okay, our time is fast then. Acts 9 22, are you in verse 22? It says, and Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Paul, is this for Paul, how Paul brought about scriptures to show that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the word to come. So he brought it together. Now, if you read chapter 19, verse 33. Okay, sorry. You find it in Acts 19, 33. You find it in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. He said, who has the mind of God, of Christ, that he may instruct him? That word to instruct there is the word some be bad. It does not mean we have the mind of Christ, so now let's be instructing God. No, that's not what it means. You see that? Hallelujah. I said 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. It says, for who have known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him, who have the mind of Christ. So he may instruct. That word instruct there, it was some bibazo. Some bibazo there means is used there, it's not for you to ask. And I have let me be instructing Christ. No, the word instruct there is the word to bring, it means to bring together the things about him. Do you understand? To bring, so who has got the mind of Christ that he may bring together, bring information, bring things together about Christ. Hallelujah. So, another place we have to look at where our zombie basil is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. Let's all rush there, verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body, filthy joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working, and in every measure, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. That is the word compacted. Compacted means to bring together. Hallelujah, to bring together. So it implies that what they had. Now when you say assuredly gathered, means they sat down and they brought together all the leadings they've had. You see that? So they brought in verses 6, verses 7, verses 9. They brought everything, both the vision, the instruction not to go to Asia, the instruction not to go to Bithynia, and the vision of the man of Macedonia. They brought everything together and they now intelligently knew that God is sending them to Macedonia. He didn't know that, I have seen vision, let's all go. No, they brought everything together. So God is not telling us to go here. He's not telling us to go here. That means he's telling us to go this way. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So they brought it together. Glory to God. So they didn't just stand up and say, no, we're not going. No, the longer they waited, the clearer it became. Hallelujah. They stayed more. God didn't ask us to go here. They didn't ask us to go here. And it wasn't immediately. They were picking it and dropping. So that means, intelligently, most times, when you hear utterances, you don't jump at them. We're going to look at that tomorrow. Just share your understanding. We're looking at Holy Ghost meetings tomorrow. So we're going to see that also tomorrow. Hallelujah. Even when it comes to most times, our emotions can get into it too. But if you just waited a bit, you'll just see your way. You'll just find your way through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because many times people might attach, I heard this from Pastor Shevu recently. People can attach emotions to utterance too. Look at Paul. Paul in Acts of Apostles 21. They had every utterance. They don't go to Jerusalem. In fact, they started weeping for him. He said, please don't go. They were crying. You gone away from Jerusalem. But Paul said, nevertheless, I go. Did you see that? Nevertheless, I go. Why? You're going to see that. Hallelujah. Was it that the utterances were right? No, they were not wrong. Hallelujah. The utterances were right, but there were emotions attached to it. Hope you are following me. There were emotions attached to it. So most of the time when you get utterance, and we're going to look at that, maybe not in this series, but in the next series after now, we're going to see the fact that even how to work with the inward witness, we're going to see that. Pastor Shevu will target the witness to the witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah? The witness to the leading of the Spirit. Most times you need witnesses. You just hear a word, bam, you just jump down. No, most times just be slow. You've heard the word. Hallelujah. You've heard an utterance. You've seen a vision. You've seen it. Most times just good to have it. And then, don't be too fast. Glory to God. Don't be too fast. I remember years back, wanted to have a program. A brother, I will not call his name for the sake of today. A brother, but some of you will remember that situation. That was in 2011, yeah. The brother just came before, now he's no longer in Nigeria. So he came, the brother that I respected very well, a man of God. He was a man of God. It's not just a brother, it's a bros. You know, you call somebody bros. Because when I was in GS1, he was in SS3. So he's not brother, he's bros. He's brother and S. So, and he's a minister. So he came to us, and me, Tunde, Jeremiah, and some other of our brethren, I started giving us prophecy. And give us prophecy, and I said, the Lord is calling him to collaborate with us to hold a meeting. Hallelujah. It's not a joke. Seriously. And I was flowing. We flowed. I said, okay, no problem. Because as a man of God, he can't be trying to sleep. So we started organizing. So there were some things that were indicative. I should be careful of, but I was like, this is as a man of God. He started talking about, he wanted to invite a prophet. A prophet that will come and, that dude, inside Barak. I was like, not knowing that, I'm not something that is very instructive. My friend Tunde and Jeremiah, they were not really convinced. They were not really convinced at all. But they didn't tell me. You know that? They just wanted me to figure it out my own self. So we, as a church, we had given out our money. We've even contributed. We've sown. We've given money. Go and do flyers. It's not the funny thing. My picture was going to be on the banner. Right, they've done banner. My picture was there. I've gone to school. I was preparing to host a great prophet in the town. So one day, I just told myself, man, just pray about this thing. As in, from nowhere, just pray about it. Prophets have gone ahead. Prayed about it. I waited and I discovered that there was no indication. As in, it was clear to me. I'm going to tell you how it became clear, but not today. That is by the inward witness. It was clear to me. This was not my left hand was moving to the left. So my left hand was moving to the left. I was feeling my leg dancing. No. It was clear to me that God didn't actually call me to do that. Do you understand? It was clear that God did not call me to co-host any meeting with that guy. I was now thinking about, money has gone on. We've even gone to the point of negotiating hall to use everything. The hall was already in the banner. The man of God hasn't communicated. I guess the man of God was coming from Ghana. I'm serious. Hall, everything, pa, 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 pa. Accommodate, has the thing already in place. I don't call my friend Tunde. I said, Tunde, there are some things I don't understand. Well, like, what? I said, Tunde, see this program we want to do. I'm not let to do it. You know what he told me? He said, oh, it's now you know. I said, as you know, he said, I've known since the second day that I said it. Somebody didn't tell me. He said, no, you have to know it for yourself. I hope you are following me. I said, it's months down the line.
and I've committed everything. I called Jeremiah. I said, Jeremiah, Alpha. Jeremiah said, him and Sunny have been discussing how come MOG does not know. See what I mean? And me, I am dating everything. You know, I had to call the brother, senior brother, even though I had to say, MOG, you know what? See this program I want to do. I was in Enugu. I was in the school. I said, you know what I want to do? I'm not left to do. You guys said, what do I need? What about I say? You know one thing, sir? Return all my money. But like, no, this I said, okay, no problem. That banner was brought to the base. He gave it to my friend's mother to say, can we put in force on top of it? But that program did not hold. Hallelujah. How did I know I was late? Just bring in, you know, you have to, just like what Paul and the other guys did, they brought in all the indications together and they said, God is leading us this way. Okay, so I have to bring in everything, the visions, the words, everything together. Yeah. Of the truth, God is not leading me to hold this thing. Do you understand? Do you understand? But the devil will say, there was a time like that. Listen, I need to listen to this very well. He had an invitation to come and preach somewhere in Southern Africa. What are following me? To come and preach in Southern Africa. So he traveled. Everybody, his friends were happy for him. He traveled. He said the moment he landed, the Holy Ghost told him that he didn't send him. He has landed Southern Africa. Bah! He just knew that, oh boy, I didn't send you to be here. But you know the problem? There was no transport back. So you have to hold him. There was no transport back. Yes, sir. So he has to go to work. But in his mind, you know the funny thing? Now let me not shock you. Do you know that he himself, by the Holy Ghost, he knew God didn't send him there. But when he came back, one of his friends came to meet him. He said, see, as you went to Southern Africa, I said, the Lord told me. Listen to what the Lord told him. The Lord told him, can't you see Shego? He's fulfilling my purpose for his life. Imagine that. The Lord told him. He said the Lord told him. His friend came to meet him just like he's my friend. And he comes to meet me. Me, I know the Lord has told me. He didn't send me to Matthew. I am crying. Can't you see the Lord told me? I can't you see Matt? What is fulfilling my vision, my call in his life? Prophecy, oh. Amen. Amen. Prophecy, what? I said, the Lord is there. And me, I know. The Lord did not call me there. Do you understand? So most times then, when it comes to prophecy, utterance, you have got to put things together. Don't be in a rush. Does God lead us via utterances? Yes. But I will not be in a rush. Can you understand me? I will not be in the rush. Let's begin to round up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the best thing is to wait. Is to wait a bit. When you wait, it will be clearer. Do you understand? When you wait a bit, it will be clearer. To be clear. To be clear. Most times there, you can get a word of, you can get even a vision concerning a place that God doesn't want you to go. And it's a vision concerning the place. So you just have to be intelligent to know what does God even want me to do now. You never have a trance concerning a location. But you know, God's leading might not be for you to go. Might even just be for you to pray. Just pray for that place. There's somebody that is going there. Don't you understand? So it's not every time you hear work, start a new work, and you are hearing somewhere, and you are jumping down there. Sometimes that new work in that place might just be for you to pray for the work. So you have to intelligently know what does God want you to do per time. And it's very critical. Can you now see? Just the same way Jesus Christ navigated through his earthly work via the leading of the Spirit, a child of God must be led. Led well. Hallelujah. And in that leading, you shouldn't be in a rush. Never be in a rush. When there is no clear cut on what God will have you do, don't be in a rush. Hallelujah. Don't be in a rush. Hallelujah. Just give it time, it will become clear. It will become clearer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it shows that even when it comes to revelations, you should be very intelligent. Intelligent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to be intelligent. Even with utterance, as we've seen. Hallelujah. Just like Peter. You know, Peter did the same thing that Paul and Silas did. Peter, when he had that vision, what did he do? He sat down to think about it. He sat down and he thought about it. Then he heard the word of God. or he heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. He saw the vision, he saw that, and he thought about it. Glory to God. Many a time, what we need to do as believers is just to think over it. Just to give it the time. Give it time. Hallelujah. Give it time. Just stay with it. Just pray concerning it. Hallelujah. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. The fact that you saw fire in an airport doesn't mean there will be fire in an airport. It doesn't mean you just jump and say, I saw fire in airport. Fire in airport. You know what it means. Sometimes the dreams can be a replay of our human interaction. We'll see that next week. Hallelujah. I'm going to go into dreams. Though I have it in my notes now, but I'm going to go into it fully next week. Because I know guys will be ready to receive that. Hallelujah. Sometimes dreams can just be, how can you just tell me you dreamt and then you saw yourself in the Johnson? Maybe the Lord is calling you to go and add the Johnson. You are not well. You watch the Johnson too much. So you saw yourself acting with feet. You say, the Lord is calling me as an actor. Come on. Sometimes dreams can just be a replay of some things that you were doing before you slept. And you are not taking it too serious. God want me to be an actor. I used to see spiff in my dreams. Not only spiff you see. You used to see Baba Ijebu. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. So they will bring things together. You must learn to bring things together. Who did the bringing of things together? The apostles, right? So that means it is at my effort. I must learn to bring things together. I must learn to bring them together. In wrapping it. Hallelujah. Learn to bring them together. I must learn that. So it's my effort. And they wouldn't have done it without the inward witness. So the inward witness is important. The inward witness is important. So we begin to look at the inward witness in the role of all this. The inward witness, you know, is not spectacular. The inward witness is that still small voice. Hallelujah. Okay, let me not call it the still small voice, sorry. It looks like the still small voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It looks like the still small voice. Glory to God. The inward witness. So they wouldn't have done it without the inward witness. They were convinced, all of them, that the Spirit persuaded them to go. Glory to God. That some places you think that me, I'm supposed to see today, but don't worry, we'll look at them next week. So I don't pile up some things you don't need for today. Hallelujah. Look at it. If you look at Acts 27 verse 10, Paul was persuaded. Persuaded. Do you understand? That is the inward witness. Persuaded. Persuaded. Don't worry, we'll get to discuss the inward witness before the end of this series. Because if we look at the inward witness, hallelujah, and how we carry it and take our decisions as believers. Because even without the inward witness, I would even have known that place, that program I wanted to hold years back, that was 2010 or 11, was not by the Holy Ghost. Was not for me. Hallelujah. But I just brought in a lot of things together and I exposed it to the Spirit within. The one that, no, it was not. It was not. It was not for me. Hallelujah. So you have to be intelligent to know how to put things together. Hallelujah. Intelligent to know how to put things together. And things, and these things is not about your feeling or your anxiety. When I get the knocking on my left leg, the Holy Ghost is telling me to go. No. Hallelujah. We're going to look at that too. We're going to look at that too before CRC. Then there are some people who try to test God. If I'm walking, and if it is God that wanted me to go to that place, if I'm walking, let my leg hit stone. And with my leg is not hit stone, so God is not sending me. You are not well. You should go and be doing herbalist in your village. How can I be using that to test God? Nonsense. Hallelujah. If it is like that, everybody has always had that thing. If God really called me, let 10 millionaires just drop in front of my house. No. Put it this way, if God really wants you to go to school, why didn't you say, let my teachers come to the house and teach me? Yes, now. Leave some things, some people think sometimes or do sometimes. So, very important. So, you know, speaking things intelligently. So, you now as a believer, do you now see that you know all your dreams? In fact, you shouldn't even go and tell a man of God your dreams without first of all knowing what the dream is all about. Here you can see, just wrong. I was dreaming and I saw fire in the airport. Do you know what airport means in the realm of the spirit? Sure, alright. Airport means there's something that is going to be wrong with your flight. That means you miss rapture. You see your life. That is what you wanted to hear. It was true. Hallelujah. So you don't show dreams to a man of God until you know what the dream is all about. And I will close with this story of a friend. two friends. One, his name is Tunde. I won't call the name of the other brother because it has to do with me. One day he saw a dream, or he had a vision or a dream. I don't know whether it's a dream now or a vision, but a dream. And that dream, he saw my friend Tunde suffering in the dream very well. And I came to meet Tunde. And told him, meet. If you see this brother, if I call his name, some of you will know him. He came and persuasively was telling Tunde, he said, Man of God, they're suffering. Suffering. He explained and explained. Thank God we have read. We are already used to A.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Higgins. When Tunde was telling me the story, I was laughing on the chair. I know if he hears this message, he too will like that. This guy did not forget it. Hallelujah. So we were laughing and laughing when he was telling me. But when the guy was telling him, if you know Tunde, you know he can be very quiet. So just listen. When he was done listening, I told him, bro. I almost called the name of the boy. I said, bro, did you pray about it? He said, no, I just have to come and tell you first. And the guy now told him, Tunde, the next time, if you have a dream like that, don't come and tell me. He said, but sir, is that about you? He said, I don't want to know. Tunde, sometimes can be very sick. I don't want to know. The dream was not shown to me, it was shown to you. So it means you have to deal with it. And don't come and tell me any dream. Don't come and tell me any dream. Amen. Don't come and tell me any dream. Just go and sort it out. Go and pray for it. When you pray for it, hey, come and tell me, I dreamt about it, but I prayed for you. I'll be happy. Don't come and be telling me your dreams. I don't want to know your dreams. The guy felt bad. Felt Tunde has not accepted the warning of the Lord. Right? But you know, that was the best thing. When you have dreams, make sure you find out what the dream is all about. Before you begin to jump up and down. Before you begin to call your wife a witch. Or you call your mother a witch. How can you dream that your mother, you saw your mother sucking blood. You say, my mother is a witch. And he has not killed you since you were one. You are not well. If you have ever thought of that, or you are planning to think of that. And if he tells you, the day you believe it, just don't come to this church. This is not your church. Hallelujah. Just say, sir, I want to change church. Say, sir, when you are out, just say, I believe that my father is a witch. He is a wizard. The day you believe, you just leave here. Just go. It means that all the world you've been teaching me is going somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your mother did not kill. Your father did not kill you. From age one, is when you are 25, they want to kill you. Look at your life. Amen. Just like the young man, after four children, say he saw a dream that the wife turned to a snake. The wife is a witch. You are not well. After four. And you are still alive. Don't say nonsense. Dreams sometimes can be a reflection of your thoughts. Don't begin to say nonsense. I've seen a family that was scattered by prophets. Listen, prophet. Because the prophet said the man of the house was a wizard. The woman packed her load and left. And they gave the woman a verdict that after some certain years, the man will die. And today, this is more than 20 years, the man is still alive. The man retired well. Collected all the retirement, whatever. The woman and the children left. But the man is still alive till tomorrow, or yet unmarried. Stop nonsense. I hope you are listening to me. Stop listening to nonsense. Somebody, your husband is a witch. You gave birth to the first child. Gave birth to the second child. Gave birth to the third child. Gave birth to the fourth child. Fifth child. Is after the fact that the man is a witch and you are still alive. You did not die. Stop nonsense. Hope you are hearing me. Stop what? Nonsense. Next week, I will expose, when we begin to look at dreams, I will expose you to some of the things that your prophet and prophetess used to do. Some of you will have prophecy, prophetess. Some of you will get to see. Yes. And those who are Joseph and Josephine, be prepared. Next week is just your week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't show your dreams to your man of God. I remember the last one. My note is closing, Dreamer. I have on dreamers. Those who are dreaming. Okay, those who are prophets. I remember this story about myself. That's it, my friend. You see, I have a lot of it. I have a lot of things according to when I talk about it or still concerning that guy. So now, there was a time the guy got into some certain level of friendship, relationship, and for years. I've been hearing words. concerning our relationship. But yes, different words, different words. And we didn't even know we were acting out scriptures. Hallelujah. So hearing words. He was just dropping it. Funny enough, he was not telling me. So one day, I was just sitting and I had a vision about him. And I called him. I said, "So come, you're my brother. Sit down, let me talk to you." So I spoke to him at length and I told him, I was not telling him what I saw in the dream. I was telling him what the dream was. So after we're done, I was done discussing. He now told me, "Can you just let me know what you saw?" He wanted to know what I saw. So I just told him what I saw. He left. After a month, he called me back. He says, "Man, based on what you saw," he now told me several things that he had not been telling me since concerning that relationship. This. Like bringing facts together. We brought all the facts together. So he's like, "Smart, I'm considering something." He told me, "Say, see, with this word, this word, this word. Next, based on what this person has told, what the person herself has told him, this, that is not the kind of life I want to live, man. You get? So this is not the kind of life I want to live. And now looking at what you have said, based on what I've heard over the years, he has been, you people, some of us think love is blind. He was blind, but his eyes was open with all the words that were around him. And I said, "Man, what do you think I can do? I can't come out of this. I won't tell you what I did, but I did something that happened. I did something within one day, and the whole thing was scattered." When I was sharing with somebody, I said, "Man, what you did was wrong. How can you scatter something that has been on for 7 years? I said, "Yes, I have to. The same way I can't go down to tell you details. But I couldn't also tell the person details. I said, we just have to scatter it. I knew the role I had to play. I had to tell the sister. After I was done, I said, "Bro, the Lord has set you free. The captive has been set free. So you are free indeed. Go and see no more." And the guy has gone and has not seen since then. Amen. Glory to God. But most of the time, why I told you that story is, learn to bring things together. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring things together. Keep track record of utterances. That is why it's very good. Keep track record of utterances. Some people, they get utterances and they want to immediately see that utterance come to pass. I'm not telling you it's wrong, but just be calm. I'm going to tell you something, but it's not part of my teaching. Most times, even in utterances that you receive, you also need witnesses to the utterance. Hallelujah. You need witnesses. You shouldn't just act on just one utterance alone. So you have that utterance at your job and you just be calm with it. Hallelujah. Calm. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Things will fall in place. Hallelujah. But when you have such utterances, you pray, you run around. I've taught you how to run with utterances, right? How to make prophecies work. Was that the topic? How to make prophecies work? What is it? Is it worrying? No. Contending with prophecies. You have such meetings, such teachings. You put it up, you pray alongside it, pray with it, and then you have more directions. It begins to get clearer and clearer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no confusion in our list. There's no confusion in our path. We have the light of life. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord.